Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Hello, Shady Gang.
Tarek here.
Shoppy Charlie here.
Prunk Chocolate here.
Lando here.
And I want to personally invite you to our
first live and in-person event
on April 20th, 2024.
Live and Lit Chicago will be our chance to connect with you in a truly unique,
one-of-a-kind experience. We will be hosting a three-course breakfast,
a watch party for Man City vs. Tottenham,
and more to be announced later. You can purchase your tickets,
pre-order merch, or simply donate to our event on GiveButter.
Tap the link in the post or scan the QR code on the screen.
We want to thank our friends at FanFest Live for being our official event sponsor. Damn, they do a great job.
I look forward to getting live and lit with you in April.
You know the vibes.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
Shady Gang.
I actually want to start with a little bit of chaos. It's a video. We will be able to see the audio. Obviously, for the audio people, they'll be able to hear. This is the snippet of Jeremy Doku discussing his thought process in his rating of Jack Grealish.
When you first touch his goods, you can directly go and at him. You don't have to take more because it's about time, you know. So when you touch his goods, you lose time. So when you have a good first touch, you can directly go into your defender, go at your defender, and you don't lose time. So that's what he did very well. But yeah, the dribble was not like Bernardo or Phil. So I think I'll put him next to Nathan. Because well, I was not really like passing defenders, so yeah.
By the way, for people who can see, he placed him next to Nathan in C. Mans said at the end, well, you know, he doesn't take people on too much. So, like, that's my thought process. And he doesn't, his timing is great. And he doesn't touch the ball too much. So that doesn't have to affect his dribbling. That, like, it, you could tell Doku was purposeful. And if I can even go deeper from my, like, production know-how, that was a small snippet cut. I feel like he said a whole bunch before that he might have thought was a compliment, but I don't think it was a compliment. And then they just started where they started, and we got what we got. Thoughts, Joe Bros? I thought that was quite hilarious, honestly.
That might have been one of the shadiest things that you could say about a teammate. That,
like, they set him up for that. They set him
that
up.
That your club will let you say on media, but still be nice. I mean, they competing for the same spot. So the tone sounds about right to me.
So, Kronk, my first question is this. What was the S? Because Ronaldo was at the top with S. Did that stand for special? I'm saying, is like S?
Great. S is just like above A, you know. Like,
okay, that's all okay. So anyways, so just for those that Ronaldo was S. His touch is, I mean, his dribbling is crazy. He does whatever he wants. Phil was an A. The funniest part of this is he literally just left B alone. Like, B was right there. You could have put Jack below Phil and above Ake, the defender. But to put him alongside the defender is ridiculously funny. And, in, like, it's so hilarious because I'm like, at first I was like, did he do this on purpose? It's like, he's like, yeah, I'll sit him beside Nate. I was like, dog. And he has such a light voice. So to hear this much shade coming from someone in such a relaxed, polite tone, chef's kiss. It was amazing. He didn't lie. The man didn't tell one lie.
Yeah. That's tough, dog.
That's the name of the episode. That's tough, dog.
You know, that's... Oh my God. It's like, you can't, again, he didn't just dog him. He, you know, was trying to be a good teammate. And I don't even think that he told any lies. But, well, C seems kind of far-fetched. That's like, dang, you know, you gave that man a C. I'm with you, Charlie. You could have gave him a B.
It was right there.
The B was right there.
But his point is well taken. You know, he can, we know his ability on the ball is amazing. which is why he draws so many fouls. But he uses that skill away from the goal, oftentimes running, I'll say, parallel to goal as opposed to running at goal. If and when he decides he's going to run at goal consistently, then maybe my man will give him a higher grade. Because he's like, you know, that whole part of the pitch is right there for you to take advantage of, and you won't do it. So I'm not going to take advantage of B. B's right there. I'm not going to do it because you won't go at these people. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think it was anything intentional or trying to be rude or whatever. But the way he views ball handling, and again, I'm putting it in a basketball context, it's like, you know, old school point guards didn't do all that dribbling they're doing today. Doesn't mean they couldn't, but they do a little too much dribbling. So, you know, I think Grealish is a little too old for Doku. Doku's like, you know, the young cat that comes in with the ball handling skills, and it's like, can you, you know, what were you going to say, Charlie?
Wait, are you? So basketball talk. You remember Andre Miller? Andre Miller, classic point guard.
Yes.
He gets you 8 to 10 assists a game, floor general. He basically called him Jack Grealish, Andre Miller.
He was basic. He wasn't doing nothing special. Simple. Not with the ball handling. He was going, yeah, it was fundamental. He's the big fundamental. That's what he's saying.
Called Jack Grealish, Andre Miller, and then said that Jeremy Doku was God Sham God.
Or Kyrie Irving. Like, it's just an elevation.
Very much Kyrie. Game. Very much Kyrie.
Like, the levels, right? Both productive. They get the job done. But one's going to just go around the pick, find an open shooter, and one is going to cross you up and make you embarrassed. And Doku said, I got some sauce that he ain't got. And that's just a fact. He doesn't go to the defender. He doesn't mix you to score a goal. He just wants to progress the ball, which is great. But it's like, hey, man, that's a 7-year age gap there. And real talk, man wants your spot. He wants to be the winger that is starting Champions League matches, that is starting against Liverpool. Like, that is his ambition. And when you have that ambition and City gets him the opportunity, the club gets him the opportunity to say, rate your teammates. Sorry, my guy, you mid. He called that man mid. He said, you are Reggie. You are now. I
found our new opening, though. A little, like, nice little cold open question. I love this. This is nice.
Mm. So I've been trying to stay away from social media for the most part. How did that play out online? Because I imagine there were probably a lot of people that were probably upset.
It wasn't that big deal.
There you go.
People.
Everybody else knew he wasn't lying either.
This is now like my third time. I posted it on multiple social media apps and people are just like, why are you making this a thing? And I was just like, because it is a thing. And it reinforces what I said the second we signed Doku. I was like, oh, well, it's the opposite. I was like, oh, it's going to inspire Grealish, all that sauce. It's going to, Grealish is going to be like, oh, I can do that? No, they did the opposite. I joked, hey, maybe Grealish saw that in practice and got bummed out from Doku's words. He's saying, hey, I ain't seeing nothing in practice that impresses me to give him a B. I'm not saying I'm right, but I'm just saying I'm might be right. Yeah, let's just say that. we make it hard over here, baby.
The most is when you're the one to vote. I hate it. You have permission to make a mistake. You have permission to lose. You have permission.
And that's when we get big.
Yeah, I'm a genius.
Attack everyone and send everyone.
I think we're forgetting the most important thing. We're forgetting about focusing just on ourselves.
But we can do better. We need to take the next step, and there's no better place than taking the next step here.
Show ourselves out there how much we want to win it again.
We win 4 of the last 5 Premier League, guys. 4 of the last 5 Premier League. Are we going to do it again?
Don't ask me again about doubles, triples, quadruples, fifth-tuples, sixth-tuples, and seventh-tuples.
Don't do it. Hey, and welcome to episode 83 of Shades of
the niggas debating my numero, not the three, not the two, I'm at UNO.
That's tough, dog. We are the most comprehensive show about Manchester City, covering both the men's and women's game, spanning both sides of the Mason-Dixon line. We making art over here, capitalized A. How's it going, show bros? Missed you.
All of y'all so much. Thank y'all for the little, my little pause, hiatus. As you can tell, my surroundings are a little bit different. I moved. I moved back home. 2023 was a little bit of a rough year for me personally, and I am fortunate enough that I could run back to mom and dad. And I'm not too proud to say that that's what I did. And so shout out to Nancy and Drew. But it's good to be back with y'all.
Yes, very much. We missed you. Yeah.
Big ups to your people. Glad to have you back. Glad everything worked out. Just glad to be back with all you guys. It's been a little while with the break and everything that's been going on, but glad to be back in here talking Man City.
How are you feeling? You still got a little raspy in the voice. You still battling?
Yeah, I'm a big kid. I still have an ear infection. I took 10 days of amoxicillin and they were like, yeah, it didn't do anything. So here's another antibiotic, and we need you to take this for 14 days. And if it doesn't do anything, then you got to go see the ENT, the ear, nose, and throat doctor. So we'll see. Here's hoping that this one clears it all up for me.
And for the sake of your health, I want this to get figured out. But for the sake of like spicy Tarek, I kind of hope you always have a little like scratch in the back of your throat.
No, it takes more than that to bring that side out of me. That's
say this, and then every episode you lose it. I don't want to say like lose it because that's like heavy, but you're going in. you say
it's
don't
know, well, and it's really
you're just like this idiot, and I'm like,
yeah, that's true. I think more so, you're right. I think social media. I think social media does it to me.
Like, please don't change. This is great. Like I want this is the 2024 Tarek I want to see. Like take a head, Tarek. This is great.
Social media is not my friend, which is why, you know, I need to just be done with it. But I keep it for the show.
So I know that people have a rule of like, you know, after 1 or 2 days, you're not supposed to say Happy New Year, but Happy New Year to y'all, because this is the first time we've all been together in 2024. Mm-hmm. And for those that don't know, we are officially coming up on like the 2-year anniversary of Shades of Blue this spring, back when we had that run-in with Liverpool that started this whole thing off. You know, we sometimes lose track of the trophies. That was the second one of the three-peat for those that are keeping count at home. The second one. Last season, you know, we just got the three-peat. And I don't know. It's just great to see y'all. Like, Tom, I feel you on the moving. You know, when life happens, life be lifing. And when life, it's so wonderful to have family.
Wait a minute.
To fall back. Wait a minute. To be supportive. And so, you know, have family, have friends, have brothers, and who can empathize with you more than just sympathize, right? Because life is hard and we all go through things. But to know that we can come back here and just laugh. And I was looking forward to this all day. Like, I get to laugh with my boys. For those that don't know a little behind the scenes, Sunday was the NFL thing. Last day of the regular season, Crunk had his Packers to watch. So we were like, we'll put that off. Last night, we had some other things to do. Like, okay, we'll come back on Tuesday. And we're going to get to this so we can all get back here. Lando, we miss you, but we know you'll be back soon. But it's good to see the OG.
Yeah, and shout out to Lando. He's getting his ass kicked by food sickness right now. So rest up, homie. I hope this show brings you joy, but not too much joy, because I don't want you to like laugh too hard and then make yourself sick. You know, so it's a gift and a curse. And before we get into anything else, what I need from you right now, if you're watching on YouTube, hit that thumbs up for us. Show some love. Leave a comment on what you thought on the episode. Maybe retort on something we said. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Good Pods, any of those podcast streaming devices that allows you to rate, please give us that 5-star rating review. That's great as well. Please thank you. Lit stream this Thursday. Super excited for the show. We got the homie, Citizen, Billy Beck. He has a really great podcast where they cover the blockbuster movies that are coming out that are like based off of a book, which is like 95% of films nowadays. So it's actually a very smart podcast concept, considering the fact that it's just that's all movies are nowadays. And then Emily Higginbotham, she is the most dope person in WOSO, and I believe also she's a gunner. And then Kareth Gabriel, he is I want to say a sporting editor for Philly Empire or something like that. I don't want to put him on the wrong Philly company, but yeah, 3 months.
You all hear this rundown of guests that Crunk just provides for us? Do you all see this work that Crunk is out here doing? Like, just first of all, like,
we need to is Crunk Jamaican? Crunk got some Jamaican in him because Crunk be moving, okay? He's going to make this happen. He's going to plan some events. He got merch. He got a website. He got a TikTok. Crunk be hustling. Work like Crunk. That's my 2024 motto. If I can't do it, work like Crunk. There we go.
Crunk is literally that scene in that stand-up special with Cat Williams where the DJ keeps on playing Every Day I'm Hustling by Rick Ross. That's Crunk. That is literally Crunk.
Oh, man. I'm actually going to listen to that song once we get done recording because it's been too long. So thank you for that. That's great. And speaking of FanFest, we have two kickoff shows this weekend. We have, we have a watch along for City versus Newcastle. It's a midday match for us in the US, so tap and join in. Hopefully, going to bring some friends with us along. And then the next day, bright and early, we got a nice kickoff show for FA Cup match. Our City women are playing Durham. I actually still haven't seen how that match is going to be viewed, if it's going to be a City Plus or what, because
I'm fairly certain that's going to be a FA player match. FA player is usually pretty the go-to on that one.
Yeah, also, they're usually really good at that, but I was just really worried because Durham is,
yeah,
you know, worried.
Also, shout out to the Women's FA Cup. They did change their sponsor from Vitality to Adobe, so I will now be calling this trophy the PDF.
That's a bar, people. You can't get that anywhere else in WOSO. That's incredible. The PDF. Oh my god,
I love that. Yeah, in today's episode, really, if you can't tell, it's vibes, it's fun. We got the match against Huddersfield to cover. We have KDB again doing his thing. Daku doing his thing. Oh, my goodness. We'll look at the fourth round draw of the FA Cup. Have a match against Newcastle this week. The women, our baby blue baddies, they play Durham. We will preview those two matches. And, Tom and Sharpie, y'all missed last week. We ended the episode on just talking about our thoughts on 2023 for the show and our hopes, maybe what we're looking forward to doing in 2024 with Shades of Blue. So that's how we'll end the episode with you two doing that. But yeah, let's get into this match, this 5-0 victory against Huddersfield Town. It was just like positive, all the good vibes before the match. So I wanted to play this. Couldn't even wait. I love it, actually. I'll try to slow or make it obvious, set you up that I'm about to say the number that I said every single time so we can just have that nice little keep going up. Yeah, Pep was asked if KDB and Foden could play in the midfield together because, you know, that was my thought. Because it's fine. It's great. Just play them.
Phyllis playing lately, unbelievable in that positions, in the threats, and he feels comfortable. And in certain games, of course, he can play both together in that position, in the pockets, in the middle, close to the box. In certain other games, for the stability, maybe not. So we have to see day by day.
don't really know what he means by the stability. They lose the ball too much? I don't really know. I gotta think about it. Starting 11 for Man City's third round match against Huddersfield Town. Ortega, Gomez, Guardiol, Diaz, Akanji, Kovacic, Lewis, Bob, Foden, Grealish, and Alvarez. Was so glad to see Gomez and Bob get their starts. Standard FA Cup squad, especially against the lower division opponents. Joe Rose, what's your thoughts on the lineup? Tom Bomb, we'll start with you.
It was so great to see Sergio get the start. It was great to see Oscar Bob get the start. I think the biggest thing with this was Rodri got some rest. Rodri got some rest. But again, because Rodri did get some rest, like, I was a little bit nervous just because I wasn't sure, like, how that, like, would play out in the midfield. Would that lessen our control of the match? We have seen matches in the past where we have not started Rodri against a lower league side, and then it came back to burn us. That was not the case. That was my only, like, little bit of trepidation. But other than that, I thought that this lineup was pretty flawless for what we had available, and the bench was stacked AF.
For me, I was on the kickoff show with Crump, and right away, I was just happy to see that we had a lot of youth in. It's always good to have people get opportunities. Nothing was surprising. I think when I saw that Phillips was sick, you know, Rodri was coming back from bereavement. The lineup almost picked itself. Happy that Walker got the rest. And let's be real, y'all. It was Huddersfield Town. We could have put 7 EDS players in there and came out with a 1-0 win. Like, we were going to win regardless. But I was happy that Bob and Gomez definitely got their time.
Yeah. Looking at the lineup, so to your point, the Oscar Bob start, when I saw, you know, okay, who, the only question was, and it pretty much was obvious in my mind, I was going to put Oscar Bob out on the right, have Phil go through the middle, with Jack on the left. So the only other question was, again, where's Oscar Bob going to play? I was actually surprised to see Gomez. I guess it's a pleasant surprise, but because he was playing at left back, as opposed to, say, left, you know, midfield or left forward or whatever, more of an attacking role, because I feel like he struggled in that position. But to Charlie's point, right, where it is Huddersfield Town. And if you can't, you should be able to, we should be as a team, not even just him, but we as a team, we should control the ball enough. We should be dominant enough that it shouldn't matter. So it was good for him to get a chance to play. I think there's a certain degree of putting him in the shop window, maybe looking for a loan or something like that, because he really hasn't played a lot. So if you can just give him a chance to show a little something, and then maybe give him an opportunity for the rest of the second half of the season. So good to see that it worked out for him. I wasn't aware of the Calvin Phillips sickness or illness or whatever. So I was like, wow, that's really telling. He's not even on the bench. But so I'm glad that you explained that, because that would have been, you know, again, I much like I said about Sergio Gomez, it's like I expected him to play, if for no other reason, just to say, hey, somebody watch him, come get him, that kind of thing. But I thought the lineup, to Tom's point, based on what we had, it was borderline perfect. And then when you see the bench, you're like, okay, here we go. Are they going to get in? That's the only question at that point. Is KDB going to get his chance? And so we went from there. So I loved it. Was happy for it.
Let's go. I was too. Yeah. Kickoff begins. Huddersfield decide to come at City. Sharpie, you joked about Pep playing a short Kings And I personally was interested to see the size of Huddersfield's squad. They had some, they were a pretty diminutive squad themselves. So that really didn't worry me once I saw that. City soon took over possession. I expected Gomez to be wide, sending in those crosses, except for it really was like Varyal and Diaz seemed to be higher up the pitch than Gomez, which was very weird, considering Gomez is allergic to defending. You know, it's just like, why do you want him to be the guy back there protecting us? Akanji, he goes down from a hefty challenge from Huddersfield's Matthos. Which, when they before they showed his tackle on Akanji, he elbowed Rico in the back of the head. Both of those things ended up with just a single yellow card. Just that moment, the bang bang action by Matthos was the reason why I was tentative for KDB, and even forever ago, I predicted that his first match back would be against Newcastle. Just because I was worried about the Bush League tactics. It's nonsense.
You must not have been paying attention to Newcastle recently. That's all I'm going to say on that, because they've been beating some cats up too.
Yeah, but that's how they always play. And I wanted to do like a, it was like a better of two evils type of thing. Because I was like, at least Newcastle, that sort of their game plan, whereas, you know, that's like old school tough football, where Huddersfield, they were just out there being goobers. It was just like, doing stuff.
I'm going to counter a little bit because I don't see Matthos. I don't see him making dirty plays. I think he was aggressive, right? And even that challenge on Akanji, like, he got part of the ball. The follow through sucked, but it's like, it's a hard tackle. And if you're in that position, you play for that team, you're going to go after it. I don't obviously think he went out there with the intent to hurt Akanji. And I'm not going to expect any player that's playing at, you know, the Etihad, you play for the last club in the lowest club in championship to just go out there and be passive, right? He's trying to set a tone, trying to be aggressive on the ball. It's just unfortunate, right? And that you hate to see your player go down there early. But I will say I was surprised slash happy that Nunes got the sub and he didn't go to Ake because he knows, like, he knew this isn't a challenge defensively for us. So we might as well get on another midfielder and just continue to ball. And I think that actually opened up the game. Later, if you had Akanji go down, but once you put on another midfielder, we were off to the races.
Yeah. And that was exactly what I wrote down when I saw it. It was like 27 minutes into the match. City had 79% of the possession. Thomas was playing striker for Huddersfield. I think they said traditionally he plays a winger for them. They just needed that pace for the counter up top, and the Terriers really seem to be relying on him and him only to defeat us, which really isn't a problem unless you're a PL side with a star striker or a winger or something like that. Expecting Thomas to beat our defenders with pace is one thing. Expecting Thomas to beat our defenders with believing your team can place the perfect pass, giving Thomas the space and opportunity to defeat us is a whole other thing. And that's really what it was. And it's, if Thomas could get open, maybe the passes that would come to him, they just weren't that quality. And that's because it's a lower division team. Shout out to you guys. I appreciate that. Akanji, when he came off for Matheus Nunes, I don't know if you guys saw specifically what the changeup was. But yeah, Rico went fullback. Him and Gomez, they did their things. They stayed super wide. The ball moved so much faster. The player movement was better. Having Varyal and Diaz in the center of the pitch, shutting down any counters, it was just beautiful to see. What did you enjoy? Like, because I wrote in here, am I alone in this thought? But obviously, Sharpie, you said that you saw the change in the play. So I will ask Tombaum or Tarek, when you were watching the match, was that change in pace and I guess more flowing passing, was that as obvious to you?
Oh, definitely. Like, it did open up the match because you had Rico is really good as a passer of the ball. But he is really good as a passer of the ball, as a fullback, as a midfielder. Rico is probably currently replacement level. But you put Nunez on the pitch, who is a natural midfielder. And I thought that that was what helped us break down Huddersfield's low block. Just being able to make those in traffic, short space passes. And you see it in the first goal, which I know that you're going to get to, just being able to make those passes in those in traffic, into short spaces. It just really opened up the match a lot.
Well, we can get to the goal, and we can start with you, Tarek. The 32nd minute goal gives Man City the lead. City had possession of the ball leading up to the goal. Our boys in blue had 23 passes in a row that had Huddersfield's low block in hell. Ruben Dias took a shot that took out Matthews. Phil took a shot on the right. And his second chance on the goal was on the left that he squeezed past the keeper. Alvarez with the assist. When City were struggling a month ago, the possession was there, but our attack felt toothless. The possession-based football that we are playing recently and against Huddersfield was dominant, flowing football, despite battling a low block. What do you say, Tarek, about the passage of play leading up to the goal?
I'd say it felt like the City of old, where we just cut through a team. We're just passing all around them. And it's almost like the phrase men against boys. It's like you got professionals versus, you know, the sixth grade team or whatever. They're out there running around. We say we're playing the same game, but it's a completely different game. We were just running through. There was nothing the other team could do. It was just watch us do our thing. And we've had, sometimes we kind of walk the ball into the back of the net. It's how much we cut through teams. And so it was reminiscent of that from that perspective. I don't think that was a pass from Alvarez, but right place, right time. And Phil was well positioned to take a shot from a pretty tight angle, if I remember correctly. So, Phil is in a really good vein of form, and hopefully it continues.
The craziest the craziest thing about that shot is I thought he went inside the keeper, but he actually sliced it like outside, which was, I felt, an even tougher angle to score.
Because he put it just on the far side.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Yeah. Man's a magician.
Yeah. It was impressive for sure.
Anyone else got anything on the goal before I keep it moving?
I think what I'll say is that the dominant, it was inevitable, right? Like, we knew we were going to score. And all I kept thinking about Crunk is we predicted 5 and 6 respectively in the pregame. And it's like, once the goal started, the faucet was going to be on because we were going to finally feel it. It's not like a PL tie where you can get a draw, right? You have to go for it at some point. And so I was surprised to see, even right after the goal, and it wasn't too much time before the next one, right? They stayed in the 5-4-1. Like, they were still like, okay, we'll try to make it to halftime. But it's like, at some point, you can't keep doing that. And that's why these numbers go up if you just play the right way. And so if you watch all these other sides in the Premier League go against lower level teams, because they don't have the same fluidity, Arsenal, they don't get the goals. And that's the problem. You have to have the system and still attack correctly. And then the process always bears fruit. And so our young players, they're so drilled in it that they just know what to do.
So City, smell blood in the water. Huddersfield, they had a couple little counters that Dias and Kovacic handled easily. If that speaks about the dynamism of the opposing side, City strike again. A lethal little tap in from Alvarez, guiding the ball into goal thanks to a daring run by Nunez. And Alvarez thriving in the shadows of his teammates. Was Rico trying to pass the ball to Alvarez, or was that just a bad shot attempt, I wonder? Huddersfield. So overwhelmed by the barrage of goals, a Terrier player tried to commit homicide by shin on Sergio Gomez right after that second goal. I don't know. It was very frustrating. Thankfully, Gomez, he was back up, play resumed. No more goals in the first half. Rico Lewis does biff a really good chance. The ball careening off his boot while he was in between decisions. Good thing is, it was home. We're playing Huddersfield. We're up by two. I had a hearty laugh. You could see that he wasn't too happy with himself, giving a good old mank, fuck off. Fuck off. Fuck. F-F-O-O-K. He actually doesn't have kind of like that nasally mank accent like some people do, but it's very vowel focused, if that's how I can say it. After seeing the actions and defending styles from Huddersfield, did you think at the time that KDB would get on the pitch because of the intensity of, let's say, how Huddersfield were going into tackles and you know, the play seeming flowing fine? Like, did we really need KDB?
I thought we needed KDB to just get, like, the amount of minutes that he did get, just so, and it be at home, so that, one, the home team could see him play. It's like, oh my god, he's back! And two, just, so that you know, like, this is the right opponent to see if, like, if you do want to try and say, play Phil and KDB together, this is the right opponent to try and do it. So why not experiment for 35 minutes and say, like, does this work? Does this not work? Just get proof of concept, I guess, that this is something, this is a way that we can attack. And maybe that's something that we see in the Champions League knockout rounds. Maybe that's something that we see, you know, progressing in this particular competition down the line. Maybe that's something that we see in a big Premier League match, looking at you, Liverpool. So I think that was a good proof of concept time. Like, maybe not a total, entire half, but most, like, a two-thirds of a half to get him minutes, get his legs stretched out. Because I don't think that... I think the next step is to play him another half, like a full half. So I'm not necessarily sure if he starts at the weekend. I'm not sure if he starts and just plays a half. I'm not sure if he comes off the bench and plays a half, a halftime sub sort of thing. But again, that proof of concept to see, does this KDB with Phil experiment, does this work? Can we make this be KDB and David Silva? Can we make that work? So based off of the results, I would say yes.
I think we all know the hardest thing in football is to score a goal. And so you increase your chances with the more creative players you have on the pitch. And if we know we're going to dominate possession, I've never understood the hesitancy to say, oh my God, can Phil and Kevin play together? Can Phil and Alvarez play together? No, you put all the talent out there and you make the other team figure out how to stop you. It's just like when you're playing basketball, the goal is not to score 80 points and win. No, I want to dominate you. And I might not hold you to under 100, but if I'm scoring 135 and you got 103, I'll take that, right? And I think that's where sometimes we get lost in, like, yeah, we want clean sheets. We want perfect defense. And it's like, if you win 3-1, guys, it's the same as a 2-0 win. And I think, like you said, Tom, long term, this is going to be incredible because KDB's impact on that team was ridiculous. Like, if you look at it, I saw a meme. It was like a big lion with some lion cubs. And it's like, that's who KDB was. He had all the cubs with him. Like, literally, it's KDB and the kids. And they were just running around doing whatever they wanted. It looked like a training session. I think I even said to my friend I was watching, I was like, they probably have harder training sessions against each other than they did against Huddersfield in that second half. And you could just see the fluidity. Every player that came in around KDB as the orbit, as the sun, they just shined. And it was beautiful football.
Yeah, it was great to see him back on the pitch. We've been waiting for so long. And I'm very much in the mindset of wrap that man in bubble wrap so he doesn't get hurt. So I definitely think we should be taking it very slowly as we, you know, bring him back fully and fully integrate him into the side. There's still a lot of season left. We don't need to rush it. So for me, I definitely would not start him against Newcastle. He would definitely get minutes. And I would, like you said, Tom, just be working his minutes, increasing them over time until he's ready to go a full 90. But even in a relatively cameo appearance, still able to impact the scoreline. And I think that's just how impressive of a player that he is. It doesn't take a long time. And he's going to find a way to either get on the scoreline himself or to put you in a good position where you almost can't help but score. So kudos to him. Glad to have him back for sure.
I think right now, and we were talking about basketball earlier, I'm thinking of KDB as like a Jamal Crawford, where it's like, I don't have to be your starter, but if you put me in for 20, 25 minutes a game, I'm going to give you 18, 20 points every time. I'm going to produce because they can't stop me. And so if he's our super sub for the next month, just playing 30 to 40 minutes in the second half, maybe it's 20 minutes, right? Maybe you put him in just to ice the game. And maybe you build him up to where like he's starting at Burnley or maybe the first match in February where he can go a full, and not even a full 90, just play 60, play the first half, play 15 and go off. Because if anything, that's going to keep Pep moving the squad. And I think we've always been at our best when we get all five subs in. When we can utilize the entire bench, that's when we perfect it because the team can't have a break that's trying to defend us. And so, I mean, this is, you never want anyone to get injured. Injuries are terrible. But even reading some of Kevin's quotes, is like, this is almost a blessing in disguise. It almost gives him another lease on, like, I have a break. He said he was able to be dad. He was like a taxi driver, taking his kids to school, doing all those things. You can take time with your body. He didn't try to rush back. Like, this isn't him rushing. This was a long, we always said January. He didn't come back in December. He waited till January. That was a 40-minute appearance, 35, 40 minutes with extra time. So it's like everything is lining up for this run that we know was coming and we always talk about it. This is the catalyst. And I think, like, truly now, like, every trophy's in play because Kevin's back.
Let's go. Second half, it begins. There's a pass. Vardiol pings to Rico at 49 minutes. Woo! Made me forget all about Laporte. Honestly, made me forget about John Stones, too. Not much happens until the 55th minute when the Red Rocket, the Ginger King, got ready to come on through along with Jeremy Doku. They replaced Gucci Puma and La Araña. Reign of KDB begins. His mere presence shook Huddersfield enough that City scored in the first minute of him on the pitch. What? What I thought was funny, Diaz is moving the ball up the pitch, and you see KDB, he comes down into open space to just give him the ball, get him like in the system. And Diaz goes, "Nah, bro, go. What are you doing?" I lost it when I saw that. That those are the beautiful things that I enjoy when I rewatch matches. It's just like small stuff like that. It's like Diaz, for him to wave off KDB is wild. Anyway, Diaz to Gomez, back to Vardiol, who hits a dime to a running Nunes. Nunes takes the ball down around three defenders, manages to find Bob in space. He sees KDB running alone, and you've got to pass to Kevin. His chip to Kevin, deflected off of a player. I really hoped Bob would be getting his first league goal. First domestic goal, because his other goal was in the Champions League. But, you know, it was an own goal to Jackson. stole his glory, you son of a bitch. During the kickoff show, we were a bit worried about Diaz getting found out or getting dunked on because that seems to happen. That moment did happen, but we didn't give away a goal. Thankfully, Ortega did his job at stopping the shot. Diaz tried to body Thomas, and he dodged him and just got up the air. It was a real shaky moment for Father Ruben. I wanted to just fit that in so we can go back to that just wondrous goal. Because, what again, I just love the vision of Oscar Bob, because it also happened on, which we'll get to it, the KDB's assist to Daku. Oscar Bob knows the spot. Hey, where's KDB? If KDB is running somewhere, get him the ball. And that's what happened on both of those situations. Oscar Bob just knowing his spot. Hey, yo, I'm a 20-year-old dude. I'm just happy to be here. When KDB gets on the pitch, you give KDB the ball, and beautiful things come from it. And that's just good on him.
And I think, like, that goes back to what I was saying. Like, it's the way we play. So, like, the way that the next goal happens is because it's the same style. It's not a matter of, like, who's on it. That runner could be anybody. But Bob's done that in training so much, and it's drilled into them that this is what you do. You don't look for the shot. You know somebody's coming back post because the defense is on your side. If you get it up, somebody's going to make it, or the defender's going to get to it. So it's like, to see him get that at 20 and in a very limited time with the first team, like, it's very scary for the rest of the world. Like, we are making these people, like, they are really coming out of a machine, out of EDS. And credit to the EDS staff, credit to our coaching staff, credit to Pep, obviously, because to teach people to play the right way when your first instinct as a striker is to score goals, that's really hard to do. And all of our players who come up, they do it the right way. And it doesn't just start at the first team. It starts in lower levels. And so, like, when you get to the big stage at the Etihad, that's what you do, baby.
What you do, baby. All right. City's fourth goal. Foden secures a brace from a corner set piece. Pure perfection. Like, that went exactly how you draw it up. The defense basically watched frozen, hypnotized, rooted in their spots, knowing the box, and did nothing to stop the inevitable. It was like, I can't tell you the last time I've actually seen a set piece from us go that perfect. And I don't know if it's because of KDB, because they were the one who passed it. He just makes such the simple passes, because I feel like normally, without him, we'd go wide and then try to cut back in and then try to. And KDB was just like, no, just route one, pass, quick. And it was just also bang. No one really could react before the goal was just whipped into the net by Phil Foden.
I thought it was interesting. Not to say interesting, but if you remember when, I guess it was last season, it's hard to tell, but when Riyad was here, there was a lot of times where Riyad was that player at the top of the box and we would play the ball directly to him, or the ball would end up there and he would be the one that was scoring that relatively. It maybe is outside the box or just inside. It's a bit of a screamer. He was the one that was scoring that on multiple occasions. And in this routine, it was Phil who had that responsibility of being that person in that spot. And so to see, I guess, the transition from Riyad to now, hey, we can trust Phil to be there. Who knows, once KDB's back fully and all these, maybe it's not Phil, but in that moment, Phil was the one that was given that responsibility. Because to your point, I think it was very much a pre-designed set piece routine. We know exactly what's going to happen. And then it's just about executing on it. And there are times where, you know, a pass is a little too far out or whatever, so it doesn't go the way you want it to. But in this instance, Phil was given the chance and put it away. And like I said earlier, he is in an amazing run of form. And there's another reason why, you know, I would find it hard to take him off even for KDB at this point. And that may sound crazy to a lot of people because it's KDB, but Phil is performing at that level. It's got to be somebody else that comes off. If we're going to say, well, KDB's back, well, then you got to take off somebody, but it can't be Phil, in my opinion, whether that's Alvarez or whoever else, but it can't be Phil. Phil's just in too good a form right now.
Agreed.
That's just my opinion. So,
agreed. I don't get it.
It's great to see us actually like draw up these beautiful set piece plays, and they work. And it's just like, yes, thank you. So it was nice to see that. I will say, Phil, if you are going to celebrate by hanging your tongue out, them Q's gonna come for you, because we already get to the Drewski video. So just watch out. I'm just telling you, watch out. I feel like I have to break this joke down to our UK listeners, because
I was going to ask, do they know what the cues are?
Honestly, I was okay with leaving it. I was okay with leaving it. Y'all, you don't got to know everything, Ingrid. You don't need to know everything. Y'all can be
confused. I mean, but even non-UK folks, I would be questioning some people if they would know what that
means. That's very true, because I guess there was culture. Yeah.
The Mayo don't know, Tom. The Mayo don't know. Help them out.
So, in the United States, there are 9 historically Black fraternities and sororities. They are known as the Divine 9. Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated is the fraternity that Michael Jordan belonged to. So like that, when you saw him dunk, like he would always have his tongue out like that. I know Jalen
Phil O'Neal.
Yeah, he's also a Q. Jalen Hurts is also a Q. So all of them have different like hand signals that they do to amongst their peer group. They recently got very, very, very upset with internet comedian Drewski for his latest sketch. I saw one reply in his comments that said, not answering is not an option. I was like, sir, this is the internet. Like, I've had the option to not answer since AOL and the little CD discs. I don't know. What are you talking about? But Phil, be careful, because you know Q's are worldwide. Yes. So they might, and we already know we already know out there. So like be careful, just letting you know.
Oh my gosh. City's fifth goal, KDB assist to Daku. I actually don't know what was better, so I'll ask y'all. Was it the pass that KDB made to Daku? Was it the volley from Daku? Or was it Alon jumping up and down, geeking about Daku dancing?
Got to be the latter, right?
Like, right?
Yeah.
Well, the dancing is cool, but for me, it's got to be the volley. The amount of concentration, ability to hit that shot. I think we take for granted, because we've seen people make that play, all of the hours upon hours upon hours of work on the training field that these guys have had to do in order to be able to hit that shot, to hit it that cleanly. It's hard to say anything other than that, because it's so impressive in my opinion.
Yeah.
But we all, you know, love to see him dance. Again, we said we got to get him a Duke dance coming up, but it's always good to see him doing his thing, because that means he's done something good. There's a goal, there's an assist. And so we're excited about it.
And for me, like Tarik, I agree with you. The volley's crazy, because it's through a lot of defenders. Like, it wasn't like an open net. Like, to get it in, like, to, you know, be able to – that volley normally goes wide, or it gets deflected, or it might go a little too high. Like, it's really hard. And I think because it's Kevin, I expected him to find Daku. Like, I knew it was coming. You could see the buildup. You saw where it was. He's going to cut it back always. I didn't know if it was going to be a cutback or over the top, but he's going to pass it. And so that's rudimentary for Kevin. But that finish is crazy, man. And it gets me to the point of, like, I've never looked at one football after a match and seen the entire team be in green. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if y'all looked at the scores. We have, based on this one app, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm counting people that scored six that scored a 9 or higher in one match. And that's including Doc Who off the bench. Like, Kevin only got like a 6.5. And I was like, wait, what? This is. but so some things you got to take with a grain of salt. But it's just like, it just shows the dominance from this match. Like, it was never in doubt. And if you were to check the Chelsea score against Middlesbrough, who, again, better side than Huddersfield, but you got to appreciate these matches. It doesn't matter who it is against. If you dominate like this, enjoy it. Drink it in, like Crunch drinking in that drink. Celebrate a little bit. These are the fun things that happen being a football fan. Even when you win trophies, these matches, you got to win these matches to get to the trophy.
Okay, let me ask you guys this. So it's fairly apparent, like, obviously, like, they both play for Belgium. So, like, they already have, like, and they have been playing for Belgium together for a while. So, like, there's already that chemistry between KDB and Doku. Do you think that we're going to, like, my thought is that as we bring KDB along, when we see KDB subbed in or when we see KDB start, Doku is also going to be subbed in or starting with him. Like, I think that they're going to be a match set, and I think that that's going to be what leaves Jack ass out in the end. Like, as we get towards those, like, Champions League semifinals, FA Cup semifinals, those April matches where we need points to get, we need this win to make sure that we're at the top of the table. I think as KDB's progression goes, we're going to see more of Doku. Do you all agree with that?
Yeah, I like it. Sounds good.
I think we were probably going to see Doku when he was healthy anyway, because I think he's done enough at the beginning of the season to warrant his place on the pitch. But I do think that, you know, much like to, you know, the idea of, what's the video game? Ultimately, you try to get the chemistry, right? And so I think there's
a build. Like, FIFA, yeah.
Yeah, but I forget what mode it is, whatever. I don't know. Ultimate Team, yeah, there you go. I could see FUT, but I didn't know, I couldn't think of the acronym. Usually I'm just playing like a little, anyway, doesn't matter. My brain is going. I'm old, man. I tell you, I'm old. But the chemistry is a real thing, right? And so I think that's part of why they wanted to bring in Doku, because you have somebody already here. We had a bunch of players from Portugal kind of come in together. Before that, we had players from Spain. You tried to have that, or Argentina. We had a contingent from Argentina. We had a couple from Brazil. When Gabby Jesus came, he already had Fernandinho there. When Fernandinho came, So exactly. So you try to, because again, like, any, we know what it feels like. We know what it feels like to be the only one in a space. You look around and you don't see anybody that looks like you. If we be honest, don't talk like you, whatever, right? So we know what that feels like, let alone it's a totally foreign language. So in this case, it's like, it makes sense. If I'm going to go get one, maybe I try to find somebody that, if it makes sense, that can make that person's, because Doku is for the future, right? Doku's for the now, but he's also a long-term bet. He's going to continue to get better. He is going to be a star in this league. So we want him around long-term, but in order to, how many players have we had, especially from Spain, who are like, I couldn't settle. I needed to go home. So you give them a built-in, you know, somebody that, that can speak their language that they can, you know, vibe with. And so it makes that transition a little easier. So absolutely, I think going and get Daku, of course, was partially at least KDB's recommendation, but you want to take advantage of that built-in chemistry for sure.
I think the idea, Tarek, of Cheeky playing foot in real life is incredible. And I'm
so sad but it's absolutely real. It's real.
That's what it is.
Especially if you read the spot.
It's green links all around the squad. Nobody's alone. And even if you're like your only countryman, for example, like Ake or the Norwegian, like Holland, right? The vibes match. Like, we know
people. But Holland, you can ask her Bob.
I'm sorry. So yeah, Bob.
Oh, really? We got Ake from the Netherlands. So he's probably the only one that we have from the Netherlands. But he's been in the UK for so long because he was a part of Chelsea. So it's, you know, whatever for him. But I think we are intentional about bringing in, you know, when we bring in players, we try to bring in a contingent so that they can vibe out with each other.
Right. And even with a player like Ederson, like, yes, he is the only Brazilian on the squad, but like, because you have so many Portuguese guys on the squad, like that's common language. Like, so like they have that bonding mechanism.
But I think when Ederson came in, we still had Fernandinho, we still had Gabi Jesus. So he wasn't the only one. He's the only one now. But like you said, he's already got that camaraderie built. So now it's not a big deal. His transition was eased because we had other people, like you said, even just speaking Portuguese. So I think, you know, it sounds like, oh, it's just silly, it's a joke, but I really think there's something to that. And on the flip side, it also can have a detriment, right? When Cancelo kind of had his going through his thing and left, what was the impact on a Diaz, on those types of players who, you know, Bernardo, you know, there may not be like, oh, but there's a little something to it. You know, it's like, oh, wow. But again, now at this point, I've built up enough of a camaraderie and a friendship with all the rest of the teammates that I'm okay. Day one, I needed that person there to kind of help me get through this. So,
not really. Tom's question made me think about this when it comes to Daku and Kevin on the pitch together, because they were subbed on together, both are coming back from injury. Think about this. If you go back to what I like to call the glory years, the first run of Pep's titles with City, you had Sané on that left wing. When you have that pace on the left wing, in addition to when Haaland comes back through the middle, that tradition, that for me, the trademark Kevin ball is the whipped in pass from the right wing that goes across the six. He's the only one in the world that can hit it with that pace, that velocity, that accuracy. And now if Haaland can't get to it, you have Daku coming in right behind him, just off pure pace. And I know we use it as it's been a negative thing for so long in footy when it comes to black players, but regardless of the color, pace and power is important, dog. Haaland is a pace and power player. Daku is a pace and power player in that speed. Now, he's not like long range speed. We know the difference, but he can get to that ball that maybe Grealish can't get to. And it's not, again, I'm not knocking Grealish. I love what Jack does. Everybody has a role. Jack is a midfielder. Daku's a winger. And those are two very different skill sets. And so when you need a winger on the pitch to get those runs, was a forward, I should say, a forward to go with Haaland. I think we are, like, Pep can now get in his mad scientist mode. Because we, like, think back to last year. When we had our struggles in the first half, we didn't see the 3-2-4-1 coming. Pep had to evolve into it. And when we got it fixed, boom, we go on a run. So now, as he can figure out, how do I integrate all my chess pieces around this board? You've given him now, like, we're going to have a two-week break after Newcastle to just play with this before we go to in the drought against Spurs, right? Like, this is going to be so fun. And this is the joy to see how Pep will get us to our ultimate level.
And shout out to you, the app that we're using to record, because our previous company that we used, I'm not giving free promo anymore, the company we used before, they struggled and we skipped a lot and my soundboard wouldn't work. And it really messed with the flow. And I think this episode feels particularly fantastic because we're all together and there hasn't been random skips and things like that. Naturally, other than it being like the first full episode of this of the year together.
Don't jinx it though.
I've done a couple of things on here with people and it's been really good for the most part. So I know that's how Riverside's actually know. We did started off struggling. Yeah, somebody left you. I'll say your name with Riverside. We had a lot of struggles with Riverside even at the beginning, and then it kind of figured itself out and then fell shit again. I'm just happy to have things that are working. This is nice. This is real nice.
We need Lando on to make sure. He was the one that was having the most issues. So we don't want to speak too soon. We got to get Lando on. All five of us on and it still works, then we know that they deserve a little shout out. But until then, we just got to keep him a hush.
You're right. It's the game. It ended 5-0. Professional job, respected the opponents, showed more respect to Huddersfield than I think they did to us. That's just my opinion.
Let's talk about that because, first of all, I have something to say for Head. I have something special for you fucking Terriers. You know what? It's right here. You're right here. Here. Oh. You know why? Y'all see that 15-year-old kid that they beat up in the tram? That bullshit ass shit. First of all, like, know who the fuck you are. You all are a championship side fighting against relegation to League One. That's number one. Number two, you're not a big enough club that every time the Jack Grealish touches the ball that you can boo. That is reserved for Premier League sides. Like you don't get that right. Like earn that right. Like come back up if you want to do that. And you're so far away from that, that'll never happen. At least not in the next 10 years. And finally, like what kind of trash ass fans do you all have to assault a 15-year-old boy so that he's like bleeding from his head on a fucking public tram? What is that bullshit? Get the fuck out of here in this competition. Hope that you go down to League One, lose some more money. And that's all I have to say about that.
Respect. I'm with you. It's troublesome. And I worry it might become... I mentioned it with a shout out to Dylan Meehan. I had him on to talk our match against Newcastle this week. And I brought it up because it happened when we played Cervania Sabetza. They had that collaborated attack on a bunch of Man City player, Man City supporters, and it was at home. It's like, so you're telling them that in Manchester they can't wear their Manchester City shirts if we're playing particular people? That's not okay. And we already know how Manx are. They're like really a kind bunch of people. Like they might try to cut you with the words, like, but that's about it. Like for the most part, they're not fighters. So it was very unfortunate to see that situation, most definitely. Fourth round draw. I wanted to quickly talk about these matches, and probably our discussion will be mostly focused on us because most of these draws, honestly, are kind of ass. So a lot of replays that still have to happen. Crystal Palace are Everton because they have a replay versus Luton Town are Bolton Wanderers because they still have a replay. And we have Brentford and Wolves have to replay each other. They will face the winner of West Bromwich Albion. West Ham, they have a replay with Bristol City to face Nottingham Forest or Blackpool, who have a replay. And then Liverpool get either Norwich or Bristol Rovers, who have a replay. How dare Liverpool draw a club that they still have a replay? Like, they're going to get a lower tier team that's tired. It's not fair. It's not fair. Anyway, Bournemouth, they got Swansea City. Chelsea face Aston Villa. I think both of those teams are going to try to lose. This could be an awful match, I think I'm feeling. Fulham face Newcastle United. Brighton take on Sheffield United. And finally, tell me stop when you have heard this before. Manchester City travel to Tottenham in cup competition. I watched the draw live, and I remember firstly thinking, damn, they're moving through this draw fast. Because it really was just like, number 9, number 15, Like, I was like, oh my God, they're not having any, like, a conversation or anything in between it. The second was a bunch of the lower tier teams were being drawn first, which made me apprehensive, and I thought we were going to be pulled against someone. But I'm going to stay positive and optimistic. This is City's chance to officially break the Tottenham curse because we have two away games. If we can win both, I never want to hear anything about Tottenham curse again. And with us potentially winning a fourth PL title, I mean, we're kind of running out of records of break and stuff like that. So why not save the Tottenham curse for last? Thoughts and feelings on the fourth round draw?
I hate that fucking stadium so much, and I hope we win both matches 7-0.
Let's go!
I think it's time, man. I'm happy that we catch Tottenham with Sun at Asia Cup. Basuma's at AFCON. Sar's at AFCON. We're catching them at the right time in January. They still down. They just got Werner, so that's just more pace up top. But with Charleston, he's coming in. So they're and Ange is a great manager. Like I'm in. And I said the other day on Twitter, like Ange and winning from like the trouble. I don't even having hate towards Spurs anymore. What's done is done. It's old news. I like him as a person. I like him as a manager. He gets it. They play great footy. And so that's what I care about. Like, you play great football. You're not Man United playing bullshit football. You're not Chelsea, who looks annoying, right? Like, Villa, Spurs, Liverpool, they play good footy. And so I'm excited to beat him, especially we got to get our payback for what they did in the first part of the season. So it's going to be fun. I can't wait for January 27th.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, again, this is the time to try to break this quote unquote curse or whatever, right? Because they're going to be without Son, who is their talisman, to use a word. But I'm really interested because I agree with you, Charlie. I think Ange has done a really good job. I'm really interested to see what he can get out of Werner, because Timo Werner was the butt of jokes, real talk. He was just like very much Havertz-y. You know, he's much like Havertz in that way. And we've seen Havertz not really thrive at Chelsea. Then he goes to Arsenal and it's like, oh, he's going to do this, all these wonderful things. They changed up their formation. They put him in midfield. Nothing has worked from a Havertz perspective. So it'll be interesting to see if Ange can do with Timo Werner what Arteta has not been able to do with Havertz. If he can't, then it's going to look like, you know, a really bad signing, because people are going to say, he's been in the league already. We knew he didn't thrive. Why would you go back and get him? But if he can get him playing well, then it'll be a coup on his part. So, I'm very hopeful, but I'm not necessarily super confident, if that makes any sense. It's like, yeah, I think we can do it, but I'm like, we need to jump on them from the beginning. Don't let them hang around. Don't let them get any kind of confidence going. We need to jump on them right from the jump and go from there. So.
So your point about Werner and his acclimation or reacclimation to the PL, look at what Andy's done with Richarlison. Richarlison got some, he had a lot of flack at Everton, right? They brought him in, big Brazilian signing, didn't deliver. Him and Calvert-Lewin could never do it. Calvert-Lewin. And then early in the season, even Richarlison struggled, went goalless for a while, and now he's hot, right? But I genuinely think not seeing Sonny on that pitch is just a relief. Like, everybody knows it. He is a City killer. It's like he always has a goal contribution against us, at least one, sometimes two. And so him being away, please go far. I hope South Korea wins Asia Cup. I don't want to see you till February, sir. I hope, like, come back in February, let your team drop some points. We'll figure it out. But no, I do think that this is – they don't even have James Maddison. He has a hamstring injury. Romero's out. They're about to sell Ben Davies. I mean, not Ben Davies. They're about to sell Eric Dier to Bayern Munich, which is crazy. I didn't ever think I would say that, but that's Thomas Tuchel, I guess. So this month we have Newcastle, we have Spurs away, we have Burnley. I expect it to be a perfect month. Like, that's the expectation. Like, we are going to win these matches. We're going to be fit. I'm going to be back. It's time.
What? I'm not worried about Burner at all. Except for I really do enjoy Ainge. Like, the back and forth that he did with the media guy where he was trying to catch him and be like, do you ever dream about having photo? Do you ever have dreams about raising trophies or something? It was some kind of weird, like, got you type of question. And he was like, I got real photos, mate. He was like, yeah, but like, and he could catch that. He was just like, no, I don't have anything to say. And he's like, but yeah, like, and it's just like, no, I'm not playing this game with you, my guy. I have won multiple times in multiple leagues in my career. Put some respect on my name. Like, I'm not playing these games with you guys. And I love that so much about him, because so many people from other leagues that are maybe not a top league, they join the Prem and they do that whole like kissing asses. And they're just like, I'm just happy to be here in this historic league and stuff like that. And he's just like, no, bro, I'm making Tottenham historical losers look more beautiful in play and winning than this has ever happened. I have a history of winning. You need to make these adjustments to what I'm going to be doing here. If I were a Tottenham fan, I'd be so gassed up. I'd be ready to run through walls for Ange. So, like, good on them, but also not too good for you. Because, you know, I want that fourth title for ourselves. Let's keep it moving to our previews. Match against Newcastle, who are 1-1-3 in the last five. They're struggling. No Tonali, Nick Pope, Matt Target, Jacob Murphy, Callum Wilson, Joe Willock, or Joe Lonson. Only good thing going for the Magpies is the matches at home. City look like Newcastle are going to be the first W of the season that leads to our usual run of victory. Do you feel the same way? Or, as Lando would say, are those butt cheeks clenched?
I have no lemon booty thinking about this game. in their FA Cup tie, Newcastle played Sunderland, which that's the Tyne-Wear Derby. That's a big thing. That was the first Tyne-Wear Derby that would have been played in like 8 years. That's the type of stuff that matters. And you always get up to beat your rival. I am expecting a letdown from them. I don't expect Miggy to play as well as he did. You already went through all of their litany of injuries, particularly in the midfield. That's where they're weak. And with KDB coming back, that's where we're strongest. I expect a big result.
You're on the road?
Yes. I expect us to score some goals, but I also expect this to be a high scoring game. I could see this playing out as like a 4-2, 5-3, like, oh my God, what the fuck is going on in this match? But yeah, that's kind of what I'm seeing in this match. But either way, I think that City's gonna score at least four in this match. But I got us taking the 3 points from their place.
Hey, that's all that matters.
I heard the idea that I'm not nervous about this match. Again, Newcastle, for whatever reason, has always been a difficult team for us. Even when they've kind of been up and down as far as form is concerned. So again, do I think we win? Yes. Their form has not been great recently. Like you said, they beat Sunderland, but again, there's a little extra on that match that they would get up for. And quite honestly, Sunderland's not us, right? So I expect us to go in there and win, but I'm with you, Tom. I do not expect it to be smooth sailing. I expect a little bit of some turbulence along the way, even though I think we'll pull it out when it's all said and done. I'll be interested to see we talked about it earlier. How much time does KDB get? How much time does Doku get? And when do we start to see Haaland back on the pitch? So there's a lot to look forward to. I think we win it, but I don't know that it's a blowout. I'm guessing it's probably a 1 or 2 goal difference. It may be, like you said, it may be 4-2, it may be 3-1, whatever. But I think there's about a 1 or 2 goals in there. Not much more than that, in my opinion.
Hearing both of you astute gentlemen, I'm going to go. This is a sheer control fest. I think Pep has gotten the team's attention that we can't go, go, go. They want to track me. That's the only way Newcastle can score. You literally can't break us down. We give goals away. We ship goals. We don't just like get broken down and people run moves on us. Like, no, it's always a counter. We know this. So I think everything is drilled in to, and our players are now mature enough to say, hey, we can possess the ball. Look at what we did. We just did it against Huddersfield. So what, Newcastle's bigger, but it's the same idea. They're going to sit back. They might press a little more, right? But we know how to break a press. And so I think we win a nice, tidy 2-0 victory. I think our defense is in a great place. Even if Akanji's out, I like the pairing of Ake and Diaz as center backs. Even if you put Vardiol beside them, right, and we know Vardiol can move up, and then you have Walker as the right center back or right defender.
But if Akanji is out, if Akanji is out, Stones isn't healthy. Who's stepping into that midfield role alongside Rodri? Are we going to see Kovacic from the start?
I hope it's Kovacic. Yeah, I think so. I think he shows that like he's in a good run of form. He looks
healthy. And we go 4-3-1 as opposed to the 3-2-4-1, whatever it is.
But even if we do the 3-2-4-1, right, it could be that, and you could just have it would just be like Vardiol could, like, even if you start him, you could push him up like he plays wide. And maybe you just kind of shift in Jack to the middle. You shift in Foden. You have Alvarez up top because we don't know about Haaland, right? And then you have Bernardo on the right wing in that setup. But Pep, he could throw out a totally different lineup. We might get a shot, Kevin Starr. Who knows? But I feel like our possession is so good now and we're in such a good flow that Newcastle is going to be chasing shadows. So I don't think we're going to score a lot. I do think that we don't concede a lot. So, yeah, I got 2-0.
I like that, Charlie, because I think that we've already seen that Jack is more effective when he has somebody overlapping him on his left shoulder so that he can run more towards the middle. So I do like the idea of having him be the higher up defender if we do start 4 defenders in the back. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And Sharpie, you swayed me. I think I'm going on this whole possession mindset because it makes sense. We're not going to try to outrun them. I can see just a 2-1 win. I feel like we're going to give them some kind of like stupid set piece goal. Even though we're continuing the clean sheets. But I've just been so jaded from the beginning of the season, not getting the clean sheets when I was just thinking we'd get all the clean sheets. So you, City, have to get a bunch of clean sheets to earn my trust and just blind love and confidence in you back. So I can just start saying we're going to score 6 all the time and we're going to get all the clean sheets because I want all the clean sheets. That's... Quickly move on to this match, our Baby Blue Baddies match at Durham. We shouldn't lose, right? We are obviously more talented than them. I know it is a pretty far drive. I don't know how many Man City supporters are going to be able to make that trip because it is, I saw people sharing the prices and stuff like that. It is pretty expensive. I was saying that it was like 80-90 bucks to get there, but the ticket for the match was like 20 pounds. Sorry, I'm saying bucks. It was like 80 pounds, but the ticket is 20 pounds.
It's like it just really doesn't make much sense. I still think our talent will outshine the situation and the lack of supporters rooting them on. Especially this being the first match of the season, we went big, right, Tom?
4-0. Yeah. This is definitely going to be a 4-0 match. I think that because this is the first match of the calendar year, this is the first match since the Christmas break. You're going to see a full strength lineup. Like you're going to see like Alana Kennedy trained today. Alex Greenwood is back. You're going to see Chloe Kelly, Lauren Hemp, and Bunny Shaw start. Now, if Gareth, like, wouldn't surprise me, like, we're up 3-0 at halftime, and Gareth says, like, okay, like, let's get y'all off the pitch. Like, that would not surprise me at all. But I think that because this is the first match of the calendar year, you want to set the tone correctly. You're going to see basically our full strength starting lineup in this particular match. Durham is in the championship. In the championship, there's only 2 points that separate the top five clubs, and then Durham is below that at 17. I think the Charlton and Birmingham City have 23, and then Southampton has 21. In the match before the Christmas break, Durham did go get a win against Southampton, but pull them a little bit closer up in the table. But it's obvious that there's a pretty clear divide, just like there is a pretty clear divide in the WSL table. So just based off of talent alone, yeah, we're going to get a big scoreline in this match. I'm going to go ahead and say it. We're going to get a touchdown worth of goals.
Hey, let's go. Let's go.
I like that. I like a nice 7-0 victory. Like I said, I hope that we're going to be able to get some players some minutes. Would not surprise me to see Ruby Mace get 20 minutes for Yui Hasegawa towards the end of the match. Wouldn't surprise me to see Dana get some minutes, who she has been linked to an exit with from the club. I know that Emma Sanders of BBC Sport is reporting that, but I think we talked about it in our group chat. Like, yeah, it sucks, but she also wants to get minutes somewhere. So we'll kind of see what happens in this transfer window. I believe that the transfer window stays open through the 31st for the WSL. Let me look that up before I start talking out of turn.
While he's looking it up, I want to say this. If Dana goes, it's been great. I saw somebody tweet this, I think it was Flops, that said the 10 shirt should be Yui next season if she leaves. And that would be perfect, I believe. And my last thing is that this is to kick on the same way the men are supposed to go on their run. The women are going to continue theirs in 2024. Sadly, we got the news of Sam Kerr's injury for Chelsea.
Yeah.
That's going to have ramifications. They did sign me official, right? They have players, but you don't lose Sam Kerr and it just nothing happens. Right. Look at when Arsenal lost Viv, right? It just hurts to lose your best player, your talisman. They might still win, but it's going to be a drop off. And so we don't play them to the end of February. So, like, I'm excited to see the women go for the title. I was super, like, hesitant in the summer. I thought we were just playing for number two. But the way this form is going, all praise to Gareth. This is what the vision is. Everything is coming to fruition. The signing of Jill Roar has been perfect. Justin Nils. Everything is hitting on all cylinders. So I see no reason why I don't know why we give up a goal, bro. Like it's the time to dominate people.
Yeah.
And I think that's their mindset now after losing and falling apart towards the end of last season. We can beat anybody in WSL. We can beat anybody in England. We want to go play people across the pond, as they say. So it's time to earn that spot.
And I completely agree. Like, yes, the transfer window is through the 31st of January, just to circle back to that. But yeah, this is the time to get throats on necks. You know, got 4 matches in January. So we got this FA Cup match, a Conti Cup match that's a derby, and then Liverpool and Spurs And just like Charlie said, you expect the men to have a perfect January. I also expect the women to have a perfect January. And I expect those score lines to be high. We've kind of seen that United as a club is kind of in disarray. And that goes both for the men and the women's side. I also encourage you all to check out the story from The Athletic that said that Mark Skinner requested the
Skinner out.
Yes. He requested that the ushers tell the fans to stop that Skinner out chant at it. And this was at a friendly match versus PSV Eindhoven. So like, what are we doing? Like, really?
Hurting my feelings.
Trash club.
He has thin skin. There I say.
There we go. There we go. But yeah, this is the time that we
My bad, Tom. I was a little slow on the uptake. I had to figure out which one of the buttons was the right one before I hit it. My bad. I heard him and I heard him make his little joke, and I was like, "Oh, I need the little to do douche." I just had to find it. My bad, man.
We make it out over here, baby.
Capitalizing. Hey. But yeah, I think that this is where you get on track. And the league matches are important matches. Liverpool and Spurs, I believe that they are like 5 and 6 in the table right now. But those are the teams that you need to beat. You need to beat those teams. And you need to make sure that they understand that there is a separation between you going for these Champions League spots and them like, oh, we're a nice little story. We're actually investing in women's football. Yay. No, you need to know like we're the OGs. We've been doing this. Like y'all got to get up out the paint.
So I didn't know, you know, seeing the who we were playing. I don't know a lot about women's footy in England, right? So I didn't know. I had to go look up and see where does Durham sit in the pyramid. And it was, you know, based on that, I realized that they're in the the fourth division. And the fourth division is kind of more regional. So they're in a portion of the fourth division. So there's a pretty big gap between us and them. So, you know, when you said 7, we're going for a touchdown. I was like, wow, that sounds like a lot, but
no, it might be,
we absolutely should. We should hang a touchdown on them for sure.
Yeah. It's what I am interested in is because of the fact that we have those 3 games and 7 days the next week. So I do think that would be incentive to sub some players in, try hopefully get, because there will be some rotation, especially in the Conti Cup match, even though it is against Manchester. I still think there will be some kind of, because that's just kind of what you do, even though the competition is very weird and how you move on or not move on. And United got their position because they were top. And yeah, it's just all very weird. Also, I just don't want to lose to them. But I feel like Gareth is going to do something weird with that squad, and something weird is going to happen in that match.
That's definitely going to be a... Ruby Mace, I need you to play 90 minutes, and I might need you to one-on-one mark JC, because that's what we need you to do. That match will be interesting. Of the 4 matches this particular month, that is the one that I am most interested in.
And side note, Mary Fowler, I love you. Has nothing to do with anything. I just wanted to get that out there. Just let you know about my feelings. Finally, before we get out of here, I want to, for our show bros that weren't here last week,
do that look back on 2023 at SOB and look forward to aspirations, resolutions for 2024. Which one of you two want to go first?
Go ahead and go. I did say that 2023 was a little bit of a rough year for me personally, professionally, in a lot of different ways. However, one of the highlights of this year was certainly working with you gentlemen. I loved all of the content that we got to do around the Women's World Cup. I thought that was awesome. I am excited that I am now living in a city where there is an NWSL side. I will be there when CPKC Stadium opens to watch the Kansas City Current. If you all don't know, that is the first stadium in the world built specifically for a women's sports team. That's awesome. I am looking forward to hopefully working with some good friends that we know and maybe producing some content for them on their platform, maybe producing some content for Shades of Blue as well. I am just really excited to be back in the city where, you know, where all my clubs left, where all my hometown teams are. And that's exciting. So I'm excited for what the possibilities are for 2024. I'm so excited about Chicago. If you all haven't already, please make sure that I know it's going to be at the beginning of this episode, so I'm going to say it again. Make sure that you are registered for April 20th in Chicago. We want to see y'all. I want to see all y'all. I want to dap y'all up. I want to hug y'all. So that is what I am looking forward to in 2024.
And for me, looking back on 23, it was definitely, you know, my first full calendar year being a part of a podcast, right? We started spring 22, so, you know, got most of the year, but to do it for a whole 12 months, and you go through all the iterations, all the trophies that we win. We won so many trophies, y'all. So many trophies. nobody else knows this feeling. I love the content. I love what we do. I love that we have found our flow. We added Orlando, which is dope. You know, always shout to Danielle, who was there when we started, right? But, you know, life moves and life lives. And so the team is still strong. And it's an honor to be a part of it. And I'm not going to lie, like, I've wavered at times. And with life changes, like, do I have the capacity? Do I have the mental acuity to keep doing it and, like, you know, care about sports? And I got other stuff in my life going on. And I always come back to it because it brings me joy. And the people around me, they know that when I talk about the pod, I light up. And so to you all, visually, and to people listening, like, when I say these are my bros, like, these are really my bros. And so, you know, knowing people for 2 years, that's a lot of time. And it's not easy as an adult to make new friends. Like, you don't normally do it. You have your people and you just keep living. So to meet people at 31 and I'm now 33, that's really dope to me. I don't take it for granted. So looking ahead to this year, Chicago's coming. You know, I'm excited that we keep doing a lit stream on Thursdays. It's cool to, like, seeing friends like Billy get on the list. And I was hyped when I saw it. I was like, oh shit, it's Billy. It's my guy. And so it's just, like, it's fun to look forward to talking to y'all 2-3 times a week. It's not a job. It's fun. And so, you know, here's to more bigger and better things for SOB Media in 2024.
And I think that's when he asked this question last week, and I think I answered. I don't know what I said, but off air, pre-recording, we talked about some of the stuff that is being planned and is in the works. It is... I mean, borderline amazing, the goals that we're pushing for, the things that we're trying to do. And if half of those things actually come to pass, it's going to be amazing. If all of them come to pass, then it's just like we taking over the world. So it is impressive. And kudos to Krunk for keeping the momentum going, because to your point, Charlie, I think we probably have all had those moments where you're like, do I have what I need to keep going? But it doesn't feel, and this is from my perspective, because I'm sure you have your own struggles too, Crunk, at times, but the amount of content that you put out, it's like you're always going 100 miles an hour, even when in some respects you might have to drag one or two of us along with you at times. You know, maybe only two of us are going and the other two need to be dragged a little bit, but you keep us going. And so it's really impressive. And, you know, like I said, I'm excited to see what 2024 has in store, and all the great things that we have. And again, you know, just the ability to meet people in person who have taken the time out of their day and their weeks, you know, for some of our listeners, it's like they are constantly, if we go live, they're on, right? They are truly a part of the Shady Gang family. And, you know, to get a chance to put a face with the name, to see these people in person, much like when Charlie and I got to meet last summer, and just to be able to give a little hug and some dap or whatever, it's like, man, I talked to this guy multiple times a week, more than I talked to anybody else outside of my immediate family, right? So it's like, this is dope. And so to be able to do that with all the folks from Shady Gang is going to be amazing. I actually have a conflict that weekend with basketball, but we've already worked it out that I'm going to be in Chicago. That's the one weekend I'm going to take away from the kiddos and because again, it's a once in a lifetime thing. And I don't ever want to take it for granted, because who knew when we started this 2 years ago, give or take, that we were going to be here, that we were going to even have a in-person meetup on the calendar. It's like what has happened in those just under 2 years is amazing. And like I said, if we this time next year, if all the stuff that's in Crunk's head actually happens, oh my God. Oh my God, it's good. Listeners, stay with us. Don't jump off the bandwagon, don't jump off the train yet. It's big things coming. So if in the words of maybe I shouldn't say in the words of Cole Palmer, because he's not with the team anymore, but when he was like, "Prim soon come," that's how I feel about what Crunk's got cooking for us. Big things soon come, for real.
Jeff Crunk is there. And I want to say this, Tom, before you get on. I'm going to make a pledge, because now that I'm back on the East Coast and life, and I'm here, I'm closer to the Midwest. Like, I'm going to take Kev up. Tom's in Kansas City. I've never been to Kansas City. I want some barbecue, bro. I want to hit Kansas City.
Let me tell you what,
Eric. I want to hit Indy one day. I'm not saying like in the spring, right? Maybe it's in the fall. Maybe it's next season. But like, I want to travel and meet up. Crunk, who knows? A brother of mine make it to Iowa. You know, like we figure
some things out. What I tell people is, what I tell people is, if you come to my area like twice a year, we can just check out different nice spots. But if you come more than that, then I might have to get a little competitive. And then, yeah, I might have to go to the same places and you won't like that. But if it's just every now and then, it's like, oh, this is nice. Oh, this is way more expected. Oh, I only had to pay this much to get as drunk as I did. Like that. Those are the things that we're going to that works great here. It's just like beers are $3-4. Food is like $8. Like, and it's all good. It's all great. It's small things like that. And it's just like these. But other than that, you come here too many times, you're like, all right, I hate this place. I don't want to come. I have to come here again. So,
but I'm going to get out. I'm with
you. I definitely want to do the traveling. 2024. It's funny because as creatives, you do, like, it does seem like I'm going at like 100 miles per hour. But after that, I had like a crazy morning, lots of meetings and conversations. After that, there was a good, I feel like 45 minutes. I legitimately just sat in my chair and just did this. Because like sometimes I just have to like turn my brain off, reboot, so then I can just like start speeding down the road again.
Hard drive real quick.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm just really looking forward to what we're doing this year. And truly, you guys being excited about what we're doing that energizes me more than I can really ever say, because I'm excited about these things because I'm the one planning them. I'm like, oh, this is gonna be the great, this blah blah blah. And there's always that moment before I like let you know where I'm just like, they're gonna hate it, aren't they? They're gonna hate it. Even though I've been with you guys for 2 years and I should know that whatever I figure out, y'all are gonna be down for. But it that's life though.
There's no captain conflict here, Crump. This is no debate. This is one captain. There's the captain. We follow whatever you say goes, my boy.
To quote the urban poet Clifford Harris, big shit popping and little shit stopping over here. So need y'all to come on, Shady Gang. We growing this thing. So get with it.
Oh, man. Okay. This was fantastic. This Thursday, tap into us with Billy Beck, Emily Higginbotham, and Kareth Gabriel. Most dope guests. We have a watch along for City Men versus Newcastle. We have a kickoff show for our City Women of River Blue Baddies when they travel down to Durham. Tap in with that. All those links, they're in the show notes. Like I said, buy a ticket to our event in Chicago. Multiple events going on. We have a breakfast event. 3-course breakfast and a watch party. Those are separate. We also have merch going out, and we'll just be out and about in Chicago. So just come through, come say hi. You know the vibes. Follow our social media accounts. Then we're on the app formerly known as Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Blue Sky. We're on all those things. It's all in the links. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to throw the comment, thumbs up. If you prefer audio, rate, review, Apple, Spotify, Good Pods, all those things. Show Bros, Tom Bomb, Sharpie, Tarek. We'll start with you, Tarek. Plug yourselves. Let people know.
At Tarek Peterson on Threads or Twitter. Either one.
If there is a social media app and I am on it, my screen name is TomBomb816.
Hit me up on Twitter at SharpieCharlie.
Hey, and you know the vibes. Shades of Blue Pod, Shades of Blue US. Those are the two where you can find us on social media. We'll be there. And you know the vibes. Shady Gang, Shady Gang, Shady Gang.